This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
قال المؤلف رحمه الله تعالى وعن أبي ثعلبة الخشني رضي الله عنه قال قلت يا رسول الله إنا بأرض قوم أهل كتاب أفنأكل في آنيتهم قال لا تأكلوا فيها إلا أن تجدوا غيرها فاغسلوها وكلوا فيها متفق عليه.
Narrated Abu Thalaba al-Khushni.
Ta'laba.
Abu Thalaba al-Khushni radiallahu anh. I said, O Allah's Messenger, we are living in a land inhabited by the people of the scriptures. Can we take our meals in their utensils? He said, if you can get utensils other than theirs, do not eat in theirs. But if you cannot get other than theirs, wash them and eat in them. Agreed upon.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. This hadith Abi Tha'laba al-Khushani radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked by some of his companions that they live in a land inhabited by the people of the book or the people of scriptures. Can we take our meals in their utensils? Can we use their cups, their pots, cook in their pots, or cook or drink from their pouches, you know, cups, use their utensils? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, do not use it unless you couldn't find something else to use it from your own. In this case, you're allowed to use theirs. Agreed upon and reported by Al-Bukhari Muslim. But wash it first. Jazakallah. قَالَ فَغْسِلُوهَا وَكُلُوا مِنْهَا. Wash it, then wash their utensils, then you can eat, use it, basically. Abu Tha'labah al-Khushani, his name is Jurthum. His name is Jurthum. Jurthum, it means germ in modern language. I don't know if they have this. Jurthum doesn't mean, I guess, the same thing in the old days. Jurthum in the old days may be something used to show how small the person is, maybe. Anqil huwa Jurhum ibn Nashib or Nashim waqil Lashir. There is a huge debate over what is exactly his name is and what is his father's name is. And usually this debate happened because the person is very well known of his nickname. إذا اشتهر الإنسان بكنيته نسي اسمه. If someone known by his kunya, people don't know his name or his last name or his father. Like, for example, no many people out here might know what's my father's name because usually they don't hear my father's name. A lot of people in America, they don't know the father name. You know, a lot of kids, they don't know their grandfather's name, actually. You ask him, what's your grandfather's name? He said, even his own grandfather, he said, I don't know, because he never heard that. He said, Ibrahim Ahmed, and that's it. Who's Ahmed? Allah knows who's Ahmed. Someone up there in the chain. But they didn't get to know who's the father is. And so the same thing in the old days when people not known of their name or their father's name, like everybody, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, that's right, Ahmed ibn Hanbal, you know his first and father's name, but not everybody known like that. Like Abu Hanifa, you know, just a Abu, what is like, not many of you know that his name is An-Nu'man ibn Thabit. No, not many people knows what is his first name. They just know Abu Hanifa. And many name, Shafi'i, his last name. But many people, they don't know that his first name is Muhammad ibn Idris. Idris, even something very strange. Muhammad ibn Ismail. Muslim. And many people don't know what's Muslim's name. Abu Huraira. And so on. Yeah. Khushani, Khushain, it's a part of a tribe, it's called Quba'a, a well-known tribe. He witnessed the Al-Hudaybiyah, radiallahu anhu. And he gave the bay'ah under that tree in the day of the Treaty of Al-Hudaybah was made. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the conquered of Khaybar, he gave him his share. أعطاه نصيبه صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. And النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم sent him to his own people in قضاء and خشين in قضاء. And he said, you go give them da'wah. And guess what? His whole entire tribe became Muslim because of him. He led his whole entire tribe to Islam. It was said that he died, رضي الله عنه, in the beginning, in the Umayyad's time, either the beginning of he said he died during Muawiyah time. Some said Yazid, some even said in 75 Hijri, which it means during Abdul Malik ibn Marwan time. Anyway, هذا الحديث, as you see, al-Bukhari and Muslim, it's a very authentic hadith. In Musnad al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, there is important narration. You have to be aware of it. في رواية سنن أبي ويد مهمة جدا تبين قصة الحديث. Tell, give this hadith in context. قالوا إن نجاور أهل الكتاب وهم يطبخون في قدورهم الخنزير ويشربون في آنيتهم الخمر. He said, يا رسول الله, our neighbors are أهل الكتاب and they cook pork and they drink alcohol. So can we use their utensils in this case? Then النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, if you find other than it, use it. But if you couldn't, you can use it. You wash it, then use it. This riwayah, riwayat al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, talking specifically about people of Ahlul Kitab, who you know that they use in their utensils what? Pork and wine. But if you know they don't cook pork or you don't have wine, in this case, you the ruling will not apply. Is that clear? The ruling will not apply. That's what some of the ulama said, بهذا تحمل الرواية المطلقة على المقيدة. The general one will be understood in the light of this specific one. أهل الكتاب. أهل الكتاب. What that term means? This term, what it means? من هم أهل الكتاب? Who are أهل الكتاب? أهل الكتاب هو كل من انتسب إلى كتاب سماوي من عند الله. Everyone claim that he or she follows a book that's sent from Allah, and he said, this is my book, this is my reference. He is one of Ahlul Kitab. And what are these books that sent from Allah? We know many of them, but today in modern days, the only people that we know are what? Al-Yahud wal-Nasara, the Jewish and the Christians. The Christian claim, or they say that they follow the book of Jesus, and the Jews follow the book of Musa alayhi salam, which is a Torah. Even if they have changed the book, even if they don't have the book accurate, even if they add to it, take away from it some of the things, change it, yes. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Surah Al-Ma'idah and many other surahs, after he mentioned that they have changed their book, يحرفون الكلمة عن مواضع, they will change the book, they will change the message, but still Allah called them what? أهل الكتاب in the Quran, in the same exact place, he still referred to them as أهل الكتاب. We don't know today any nation they claim that they follow a book that came from Allah except the Jews and Christians. There is other group have books, but are they following the books that claim that it is basically came from Allah? No. Either they made these books came from some any other than Allah, like the Buddhist, the Hindus. That's right. They don't claim that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They came from their gods. Al-aniya, utensils. Okay? Here, al-aniya huwa al-wi'a. It's the container that you contain in it the food or the drink. I'm not sure if you remember last week, قلت لكم, the vast majority of containers during the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is made of what? Wood or skin, the leather, the animal skin, especially for drinks, it's this pouch made out of basically leather skins, قرب. والآنية wood, like cups, plates. Now when you put the wine in these utensils, what will happen to the wine? Will be observed a little bit by what? By the wood or by the skin, that's right? The leather of that, of whatever pouch that they're using, that's right? Also the same thing, if you cook pork and you have the pork, basically, رطوبه هذا الخنزير, when you cook the pork, the juice of it, the the smoke of it, when you put it in the container, it will be observed by the skin. That's right. It will be observed by the plate. So that's why the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and also small pieces maybe fall in the crack between the wood, because you can imagine old days, it's not as perfect masqula mithl ma'adinna liyum. It's not like the plates that you have today, that the water run through it, nothing like, you know, stay on it, no stain, it's so, or stainless steel or anything like that. It's wood. So they will think maybe some of the pork, the meat, it will fall in the crack. Then you come and you cook or you eat from it. So there is hesitation, that's right? So that's why they are wondering, they were wondering if it's allowed for them to use these kind of utensils. And that's why they ask in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not because of the concept in general, can we use يعني Ahlul Kitab because they are Ahlul Kitab, or because they are as some ulama thought, because they are themselves najis. No, it was because of this possibilities, that's why they want to ask, if should we use it or avoid it? And in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam shows the permissibility of using it. But in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam recommended for them first not to use it. He did not forbid it. He just recommended for them. That's why later on he said, and if you can't find anything else to use it, so basically you're allowed to wash it, then use it. And this order from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, تَكَادْ يَكُمْ بِاتِّفَاقِ الْفُقَهَاءِ, I can say that this is a form of agreement. It's a form of agreement between al-fuqaha that it is just a recommended, not must. Let's look at what we learned from this hadith, rules and fiqh. Number one, a very interesting concept we should be aware of. فائدة عظيمة جدا لكم يعني عضوا عليها بالنواجد كما يقال. Hold into it. الأصل, the default rules of the following items, that it is pure unless you see with your eyes, it is impure. The default rule, water, any water, it is pure until you prove the opposite. You basically walk into the bathroom to make wudu, or where the sinks, water on the floor. The default rules, this water is pure. Walking in the street, somebody threw water and come to your clothes. You find it wet. You know, the default rules, it is pure until something else proven otherwise. Wal ard, every single land on this earth is pure, unless you prove the opposite. Any land, it is pure unless you say this is. I have proved this is najis. You don't say, oh, you know what? Like some people go to hotel. I don't know if I can make sujood on this carpet. You know, people walk in it, people throw up over it, people like whatever. I'm not gonna gross you out, but you know. الأصل هو الطهارة. The default rules, it is what? Pure. You know, I park my car in the park, in the street, in the land. كل الأرض طاهرة. وكل الحجارة طاهرة. All rocks are pure. Any rocks in the face of the earth, it is pure. Unless you prove otherwise. والثياب. every single clothes, any clothes that you see in your life, it is pure unless you prove otherwise. Any clothes, underwear or overwear. Okay? Yeah, any, whatever you wear, it is, anything, it is pure unless you prove otherwise. وَالْأَصْلُ فِي مِيَاهِنَا الطَّهَارَةِ وَالْأَرْضُ وَالثِّيَابُ وَالْحِجَارَةِ يقول السعدي رحمه الله في منظومته في قواعد الفقه. And add to this, والآنية. All utensils, any utensil you see, the default rules, it is halal, it is allowed for you to use it, unless you prove otherwise. Number two, we learn from this hadith, أَنَّ الْمَاء كَافٍ فِي إِزَالَةِ النَّجَاسَةِ لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اكتفى بذكره. We learn from this hadith that water is sufficient to purify any what kind of impurity, صح? Because the Nabi said, wash it. So any impurity, washing it will be sufficient. Number three, قال العلماء في هذا الحديث يعود إلى قاعدة. This is related to a rule. And this rules, very famous rules in the الأصوليين among the scholars of أصول الفقه يقولون الأمر بعد الحظر يفيد الإباحة. Very common rule. They said, if the Prophet ﷺ forbade something, then he later on negate that by making it lawful, the new rules it mean, the new rules will be what? It's permissible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala قال مثلا وَإِذَا حَلَلْتُمْ فَاصْطَادُوا. The rule, you're allowed to hunt. Then Allah forbade hunting during what? Hajj, while you are in the Hajj. Then he said, if you finish the Ihram while you're making Hajj or Umrah, when you finish that and you became halal again, go hunt. So he said, hunt. Fastadu, that's order, hunt. Is that order, it means hunting after Hajj is obligatory? Going hunting a trip after Hajj is obligatory? No. It means it's permissible. Al-ulama took from that verse and similar qa'idah. They said, Al-amr ba'da al-hadr yufid al-ibaha. Any order comes after prohibition. It means that order means it is permissible for you to do that. And even though that's a very common qa'idah, lakin أهل التحقيق من أهل العلم يقولون هذه القاعدة بهذا الإطلاق محل نظر. The scholars, some scholars said, objected to this. They said, this generalization is not accurate. To say any order after prohibition, it means it's, this order means it is permissible. They said, not true. What's accurate to say, أن الأمر بعد الحظر يعيد الأمر إلى ما كان عليه قبل الحظر. I'll say that again. He said, the ulama said, when you make order, then you made a prohibit or forbade, then you make an order back, this new order goes back to the same rule originally it was. So hunting originally, what is the ruling? Permissible, halal, mubah. So it goes back to it. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا إني نهيتكم عن زيارة القبور ألا فزوروها أمر. I forbade you to visit the graveyard. I'm ordering you now to visit it. Is visiting the graveyard mubah? Permissible? No, أعوذ بالله. يعني you don't get يعني going now, if I go now to visit the graveyard to remind me of the akhir, exactly like going to IHOP to eat pancake. طيب تذكر الآخرة is the same ruling as going to taking juice from Jumbo Juice. Is that possible? Mubah, that's what mubah means. Mubah, it means it is permissible. I go eat apple. I go to drink coffee from Starbucks. That's mubah, that's right? Anybody would say that going to graveyard to remind yourself of the Akhirah will be like going to a restaurant to eat? No. That means going to the graveyard is mustahab, recommended act. I have mumkin mustahab. Just kidding. Okay. So it is recommended to go to the graveyard. You get reward from going there. That's right? That's right? So here you say, I get reward from it. That means you go back to the ish, to the asl alladhi kana alayh. فإذا انسلخ الأشهر الحرم فاقتلوا المشركين. He forbade them to be engaged in war with the mushrikeen during that sacred month. But after this month finish, you go back to the fight. Because there were an act of war between the two parties. So, and I can go on, but this is not usul al-fiqh. But that's one of the things that when we teach usul al-fiqh, we tell our students that, be careful. Even though it is so common, أن الأمر بعد الحضر, هكذا يقول الأصوليون, لكن الصحيح أن الأمر بعد الحضر يعيد الأمر إلى مكان عليه. Return it back to the rule that it was before the prohibition. Also, this hadith, some ulama said, is a proof that al-khamr najis. Everybody agreed that poor pigs are najis. Okay? But from this hadith, some ulama said, that shows you that al-khamr is what? Impure, najis. I don't know if you guys know that or not. There is a whole debate between the Muslim scholars if al-khamr is najis or not. Impure or not. Yani, let's say wine touch your clothes or fall on your hand or beer or liquor. Is that means I have to wash this? It's najis, it's like a urine or like a feces or something. It's najis, I have to remove it or like a throw up. Can I pray with the stain of it? Can I have it? The scholars debated, is this impure or pure? اختلفوا هل هو نجس أم لا. طيب, can anyone here tell me how this hadith shows that al-khamr is najis? Wash it, mashallah, if ta'alik. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, order them to wash it. Because what? Because of the najasa of it. So he said, wash it. And that shows that it is najis. Some other ulama said, no, it, not necessarily that it means that they are najis, al-khamr, inna bin Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he doesn't want any part of alcohol to mix with the drink. Has nothing with the najasa. And the ulama who said al-khamr is not najis, is not najis, what's their proof? Anybody knows? What's the biggest proof that the ulama used to say al-khamr is not najis? Huh? One person, I can't hear multiple. Yes. Yeah, but throw up is najis. And it's not ahad al-sabilayn. Blood is najis. And it's not ahad al-sabilayn. Uh-huh. Very good. They said, because when the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told them al-khamr is forbidden to drink, what the companion did? They pour the khamr where? In the streets, to the extent the Sahaba said the street were flooded with khamr. Question, if al khamr is najis, would they be allowed to do that? Yes. Because they're gonna throw away. Can I go in people's way and start urinating? I have a pocket filled with blood and like najasa and urine and feces. Can I just throw it in the street? No, haram, because you make the street what? Najis. And it's not allowed. So if this was najis, they were not allowed to throw it in the street. They will use it in the same manner they used to get rid of what? The feces or the urine. Without making the rest of the streets najis. That's right? Because that means people can step on it, touch their clothes, and so forth. So this hadith, some ulama who took the position al-khamr is not najis, this is their biggest proof that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum didn't treat it like najis. They treat it like anything that not najis but is not allowed to contain. The ulama who said no, it's najis, they said the only reason the Sahaba did this is to make it clear to everybody that al-khamr is haram and forbidden. That's why they did it in the street. So anyone will see that, will know that's not allowed anymore. Anyway, that's not our, maybe later on we'll have some discussion about this. But I just wanted to be aware of this issue. From this hadith, Ibn Hazm rahimahullah and some other scholars qalu, the reason for a Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to order the Sahaba to wash it, it is because the kuffar, the non-Muslims, are najis themselves. So Ibn Hazm and some scholars qalu that al-kafir najasatu najasa ayniya, laysat hukmiya. They said he is najis. If he touch your hand, you have to wash your hand. And his hand is wet. They said the person who is non-Muslim is not pure. But this opinion is not popular, the majority. It's very, very, very few people said that. And it is weak opinion, in my opinion. And it is rejected, actually. Because the point of the najasa, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا الْمُشْرِكُونَ najas, the mushriks are najas, it meant here, يعني because they don't purify themselves in the way the Muslim purify themselves, urine after, you know, using the water and the proper way of cleaning themselves from janaba, from the, that's what it means. Not because their hands and their sweat and it's najas. Because that's not what this verse is speaking about. Also, in najasa here, it means because, what is najas in Arabic language? What is kalimat najas fil arabiyya mean? When you say najs in Arabic, something mustaqdar, something it is mustaqdar, yani. Filthy is very strong. It's like disgusting. So, what is disgusting is to disbelieve in Allah. That idea, it's disgusting idea that to feel someone will deny Allah's right to be worshipped or use some idols as God. This is what the najis. بالمعنى اللغوي البحت, it means something that it is inappropriate, something like bad, something that makes no sense to you. So they said that's why. What's the opposite? Al mu'min what? Tahir. So it means I don't need to make ghusl. I don't need to make wudu. Nobody ever understood that in a literal sense. So when you look at the opposite, why would you take it in a literal sense? It makes no sense. If that makes sense. Okay. Is that clear? واضح؟ لما كانت طهارة المؤمن ليست حسية إنها معنوية كانت نجاسة الكافر أيضا معنوية وليست حسية. Number six. This is very interesting rule and very beneficial لنا اليوم, خاصة إخواننا اللي يشتغلوا في المطاعم أو يروحوا مطاعم كثير. Very helpful for them. What is it? أنه ما لا يتيقن الحكم عليه يجوز استعماله عند الحاجة. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم from this hadith told us, if you have a doubt about something but you need it, you're allowed to use it. A lot of people do the opposite. A lot of people say, oh, because there is doubt about it, just leave it completely. Actually, this hadith shows you the opposite. Yani, they're not going to die if they don't use their cups and their plates. Even though there is possibility of trace of pork, possibility trace of wine in it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wash it and use it. It will not be harmful to you. Even though washing it will not take it away, by the way, 100% completely. Because still that would observe the basically the pork and the sauce of it, just washing it will not be enough to remove it 100%. But we in Sharia, it's based on ease, at-taysir. And by the way, washing it is recommended and is not wajib. بِاتِّفَاقِ الْفُقَهَاءِ. An agreement that washing it is just recommended. You wash it if you really see a trace of it. But even if you don't wash it, you still allow it to what? To eat it. You might tell me, Sheikh Waleed, where do you get from how the fuqaha, why the Muslim scholar would say it is recommended and is not must? In Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam give an order, wash it. So how can you say wash it here? It means a recommended and not must. Isn't that a good question to ask? Is it a fair question? How do we know when the Prophet ﷺ gave an order that this order, lil-wujub aw al-nadb? How would we know? There is many different ways, but one of the ways we look at other incidents, other ahadith. هل تصرف هذا الحديث عن الوجوب إلى الندب أم لا? We look at other evidence and we see. Do we have any other evidence shows us that the Prophet meant by this order just a recommendation act? Yes, we found plenty. Like what? An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a Jewish woman invited him to eat at her house. And he what? Did he eat? Or he said, hey, did you wash it? Let me wash it first. He ate from it. An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, plenty of times. عزمه واحد من جيرانه صلى الله عليه وسلم, one of his neighbors invited him and his wife, and he offered him food in the plate or whatever containers. Did the Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم said wash it? No. In Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم and the Sahaba used to borrow from the kuffar. In Nabi didn't order all of them to make. So we understand from these evidence that in Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم when he said wash it, just to as a recommended act, just as a recommendation, not as a must. Is that clear? That's how the Sahaba understood that. طيب. How this famous or beneficial today? مثال, which is sometimes I go with people to restaurant, they drive me crazy. Sheikh, I can't eat in this. It's not halal. Why, Habibi? He said, they put it in the microwave, and they heat the pork in the microwave, and the microwave have all this like smoke of the pork. Then you put the other meat, and the smoke goes to the new meat of the pork, and became haram. That's right. Even some people said, "Oh, we cannot slaughter our animal in the same put in the same fridge, where basically the pork and the pigs are slaughtered." Why? Because when you kill the animal, the bukhar, the heat comes out of it, mix, and the cold weather make it mix, so it will be affected by it. And I hear things like this all the time. Oh, I'm not sure if that grid, okay, they did a burger in it, or bacon in it, or whatever in it, next to each other, you know, is it this, is it that, all these possibilities. كل هذا يدخل تحت هذا الحديث. All this goes under this hadith. That النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم allowed using the utensils of Ahlul Kitab. Even with the possibilities of trace of these things. Because of the need. Those people lived with Ahlul Kitab. Lived next to Ahlul Kitab. فما بالك بمنا نحن. So what do you think of us Muslims who live in the country of Ahlul Kitab? That's even bigger need, and the case is much bigger than them. Same thing if your neighbors offer you food. I rented a house, or sometimes hotels that comes with what? Pots, and I'm allowed to use it? Do I have to wash it? You don't have to, but if you wash it. And I would say today, in modern days, all utensils is not like old days where there is possibility of trays and pieces stuck in the wood. لا اليوم ما شاء الله. It's like a mirror. You can see yourself in it and reflection. So if it looks clean, it's clean. You go to the restaurant, the plate is given to you. You need to say, wallahi, yumkin, maybe, my all this waswasa. All this is from tadhiq ala al-insan. The person's basically making it just harder and harder for himself with things that ma anzal Allahu biha. يعني Allah never made it obligatory on us. نضع أغلال وآثار علينا رفعها الله عنا. Allah سبحانه وتعالى make the haraj removed, make the things easy for us. Yes. It's a good question. Sometimes you go to Subway, you go to this, the same knife, they cut with the cut with the cut, same thing. If you clean it and it is, unless you see in your bread a piece of pork, in this case you just take it and throw it away. It is good for if he can clean it, but is it wajib? No. Okay, that's good. I like to be clean it too. I gross out by it. But there is a difference between this and make it forbidden. That's my point. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam recommended them to do that. Yes. If he put a grease of lard on the grilled, then he cook, that's haram. That's haram because you are using the lard. But I'm not talking about that. Talk about like they clean it up, or there is like this grill not used. Not all of them the same. But like in some places, they will not mix. Like this grilled, for example, for things light, like pancake or like the bread, and this is for meat, this is to fries, they don't, and maybe we can ask people who are specialized in this, they can benefit us more. Then المؤلف رحمه الله أعقب هذا بحديث to shows you that his point, which is عن عمران بن حسين أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم توضأ من مزادة امرأة مشركة متفق عليه من حديث طويل. Do you want to read it, Abdullah?
Narrated Imran bin Hussein radiallahu an, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions performed wudu from a skin water container belonging to a polytheist woman, agreed upon. It is an extract of a long hadith.
Thank you. Imran ibn Husayn ibn Ubaid al-Khuza'i Abu Nujayd radiallahu anhu wa arda'ah. One of those companions, and we don't know how he became Muslim, but he became Muslim on the seventh year of Hijrah in Khaybar, same year where Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu became Muslim. And he witnessed all the battle of the Prophet ﷺ afterwards among the leader of the companions. And he used to be the judge of Al-Basra for a while, radiallahu anhu. And he lived there until he died. He was like a father figure for so many tabi'een, was a guide for so many scholars among the tabi'een, and among them Al-Hasan Al-Basri, and Ibn Sirin. Al-Hasan al-Basri said, "Ma qadima al-Basrata rakibun khayrun minh." We never had anyone came to al-Basra. And al-Basra is a place where many companions visited and lived, and many great scholars. He said, no one ever entered al-Basra better than him. He was a very truthful, avid worshiper, rahimahullah. And he used to have karamat. Once he said to Abdullah ibn Mutarrif ibn Shikhir, قال أحدثك واكتم عني ما دمت حيا. Don't tell anyone as long as I'm alive. Don't ever say to anyone, as long as I'm alive. He said what? قالت كانت تسلم علي الملائكة. He said, wallahi, many times the angels will give me salam, will greet me. And رضي الله عنه وأرضاه. Umran ibn Husayn is also an amazing person when it comes to a deep understanding of the religion. And he one of these firewalls that we had in our history against so many deviant sects were trying to deviate Muslim in the early time. وَلَهُ قِصَّ مَشْهُورَ is a very famous story. I don't know if you ever come across it. When he was sitting in Al-Basra and a man came to him and he told him, there is no such thing as called shafa'ah, no intercession for the sinners, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid and said there is no shafa'ah, no intercession in the Day of Judgment. And he explained to them that that's not true. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there is intercession for the sinners. And they said, we couldn't find it in the Quran. قَالُوا مَا نَجِدُ لَهَا أَصْلًا فِي الْقُرْآنِ. For he got so angry, he said, did you read the Quran? He said, na'am. I read the Quran. He said, if you read it, did you find in the Quran you pray Maghrib 3 times? You pray Isha 4, 3 rak'ah? You pray Isha 4 rak'ah? You pray Fajr 2 rak'ah? You pray Dhuhr 2 or 4 rak'ahs? And Asr 4 rak'ah? He said, no, I didn't read that in the Quran. Then he said, so where you get that from? He said, from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he said, did you find in the Quran also أن في كل 40 درهم درهم? Did you find in every 40 dirham you give 1 dirham, 2.5%? In every that amount of sheep you give 1 sheep as zakat? He said no. He said, so where you got that from? He said, from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he said, did you find in the Quran وليطوفوا بالبيت العتيق, make طواف around the bayt? Did the Quran tells you 7 times? And you pray 2 rak'ah behind Maqam Ibrahim? He said, no. He said, did you find in the Quran لا شغار ولا جلب ولا جنب? Some business transaction is not allowed beside riba. He said, no. Where you got that from? He said, we got that from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Then he said, and we found also in the Quran, we found in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we found from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that there is shafa'ah, there is intercession. And even if you read the Quran, you will find the shafa'ah. Didn't you hear what Allah said in the Quran? قَالُوا مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ وَلَمْ نَكُ نُطْعِمُ الْمِسْكِينَ. Until he reached the ayah, فَمَا تَنْفَعُهُمْ شَفَاعَةُ الشَّافِعِينَ. And those people will not receive the intercession. So that means there is other people will receive the intercession. And when he said that, those people, they basically couldn't answer him. He just destroyed them, as we said, in the debate. Yeah, same group still exists today, the Quran Union. يقول منذ صاق بايعت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بيميني, when I give bay'ah with Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم in my right hand, ما مسست ذكري بيميني قط. I never touch my private part with my right hand since my hand touched the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم's hand, out of respect. That's just to show you how much honor he has. Now, تفضل.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
هدايد رضي الله عنه ورحمه في سنة 52 ودفن بالبصرة. He died 52 هجري. المزادة توضأ النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه من مزادة امرأة مشركة. المزادة he translated to what? Skin water container. That's right. Skin water container. That's how he translated. Skin water container. Al-mazada have a very specific meaning in Arabic language. Al-mazada, because how would you do a skin? Can you imagine you have the leather of two pieces of leather? You basically sew them together like this and like this and like this, and you close it and you make a hole, okay? You make a pouch and you have a container. Al-mazada, it is that skin water container, but it has to be made of three pieces, not two. So you have one here, and one what? In the bottom, in the middle. What that means? Large. Not يعني بتغلق. You close it from the top, but it means it give it, expand it. Is that clear? So al-mazada always referred to some to skin water container made of three pieces of leather to make it bigger, to make the size of it bigger. It's like today, if I have anything come to my mind, you know how when you buy a suitcase and you have a zipper to open it and expand it, that's the whole idea, just to expand the container so it contains a large number of water. قربة. بس القربة ممكن تكون من قطعتين أو تكون من. That's fine. Yeah, but this is three pieces, one, and one in the middle, to make it any big. طيب. المشركة in the hadith here, polytheist woman, polytheist. That's what it is. Yeah. It means someone who an idol worshiper, someone who don't believe in God, somebody who doesn't believe in Allah. So he's not a Christian, not a Jew. Al-Quran never usually, I'm not sure now, at the top of my head, but in the top of my head, I can tell you, I couldn't think that Al-Quran ever refer to Ahlul Kitab as Mushrikeen. I just can't think of something. But Al-Quran referred to Ahlul Kitab as Kuffar. Quran daiman let me put it, because now I can't think of everything, but I can put this way. I can say the common use of al-kuffar, of Ahlul Kitab, as kuffar. أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ نَافَقُوا يَقُولُونَ لِإِخْوَانِهِمُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ لَمْ يَكُنِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ مُنْفَكِّينَ حَتَّى تَأْتِيَهُمُ الْبَيِّنَةُ. And you can go on and on like that. يتجد القرآن غالبا, he referred to أهل الكتاب not as a mushrik, but as a kafir, بالله. Because Ahlul Kitab denied Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, denied the message of Islam, or denied Jesus, like the Jews. فَكَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ رَدُّوا مَا قَالَ اللَّهُ بِهِ, or denied the truth that came to them. This mushrika, so it's not from Ahlul Kitab. So that shows you that the hadith about the permissibility of using the utensils of Ahlul Kitab is not only limited to Ahlul Kitab, also expanded to what? To anyone who's non-Muslim. So a Buddhist, Hindu, whatever the case will be, you're allowed also to use their utensils. هذا الحديث هو قال متفق عليه من جزء من حديث عمران بن حسين الطويل. The hadith is very long hadith, and the summary of it, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم pointed someone to guard the time. You know what guarding the time means? Yani watch out in the night for what? For Fajr. When we used to camp, I don't know about you guys, anybody here camped before? Okay, good. When you used to go camping, what we used to do, we used to divide the night. Let's say the night is 10 hours, so we divide it to 10. We don't sleep 10 hours. We're going to sleep 6 hours. So we make 12 slots. And each half an hour, guarded by one person. That's when I was in high school. That's how we do. Or two people every half an hour. So we take from, for example, 10 to 10:30. Okay, we used to fight who's going to go first. Okay, so 10:30, I go wake up the other two, and we go to sleep. So these two stay from 10:30 to what? To 11. Or let's say, make it 1 hour, from 10 to 11. 11 to 12, then they go wake up the person next. So he come and he stay for 1 hour. We have alarm, but we used to do this because that's how the Sahaba used to do it. كانوا يحرصون الوقت, they guard the time. So Fajr is 4 o'clock, خلاص, the last one, wake everybody up. And it will be also, I'm saying this because some of you deal with youth, some of you maybe well deal with youth. We used to use this as an opportunity for Qiyam al-Layl also. Because every two people who stand up to guard the time, it's an opportunity for them to pray, you know, to make Qiyam al-Layl. Anyway, that's the old good days, I guess. So here we say that this Sahabi radiallahu anhu, who was guarding time, he forgot and he slept. So they woke up way after the sunrise. And guess what? 6 people woke up, then the 7th was Abu Bakr. Yani 6 people woke up, then 7th one was Abu Bakr. The Sahaba, 6 companions wake up and don't know what to do. Should we wake Rasulullah up or not? So they went to Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr wake up and they said, should we wake the Prophet? Abu Bakr said, no. لا توقظوا. Maybe there is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a reason for this to happen. So they waited. So in the Abu Bakr came next to the Prophet and he started saying, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, making takbir. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wake up. Then they said, Ya Rasulullah, we missed the salah. In Nabi said, no, you didn't. Ya akhi ajib. هذا الحديث فيه فوائد كبيرة. Inshallah, maybe one day we can make this as a class. Because he said, you did not miss it. Because the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم كان حطوا الطين على رؤوسهم هكذا يضربون على رؤوسهم. They're hitting themselves, their heads. How come we missed Fajr? We're crying. How come we missed Fajr? Today we miss Fajr, we wake up, we missed Fajr. Oh, let me check my iPhone. Let me do this. Oh, it's okay. Take it. So they were like, they are in hysteria. Yani, they couldn't believe that they missed Fajr. رضي الله عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه وأرضاه رضي الله عنه لما فتح المسلمون أعظم مدينة في العراق تستر. When they conquered Tastur, the biggest, the most strategic city in the whole entire Iraq region, that was the basically the backbone of the Persian Empire. The fight continued the whole night, and the fight stopped what after the sunrise. So the Muslim army prayed Fajr after sunrise. He was crying. They said, "You're crying in a day. Allah bring victory and bring this nation to their knees." The Persian nation, قال والله لصلاة الفجر أحب إلي من فتح تستر. He said, والله صلاة الفجر more beloved to me than conquering تستر. الموازين اختلفت يا أخواني اليوم. Things completely became different today. We see things in different lens today. الصلاة is not that of a big deal. So when he saw that, he said, "You didn't miss anything. Let's move." Move? He said, "Yeah, everybody get on his camel." Then they start walking until they get exhausted. Then he stopped and he said, "Now pray." He wanted to get them out of that mood, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he stopped. He made one of them to call adhan. Then they prayed sunnat al-fajr. Then they prayed Fajr with the Prophet ﷺ, as if they exactly prayed on time, out loud. And many, many fawaid, yani we can learn just from saying the hadith. Many lessons we can learn. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after that, they were like looking for water. They couldn't find any water. In the middle of the day, they were very thirsty. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they were racing who will bring the Prophet ﷺ. They have a small pouches, has a little bit of water in it, and they were like next to the Prophet. If anytime he wants water, they will rush who will give the Prophet ﷺ part of his water, so Allah bless the water. But they run out of water completely until Nabi ﷺ asked Ali ibn Abi Talib and another person to look for water, and they found this woman between she riding, and basically her, next to her two legs, these two mazada. These two basically containers. Wow, this water, she said, "I have no water." He said, "How long you've been traveling by yourself? Where is your family?" She said, "It is 24 hours back of travel, like nonstop. Yawm al-layla, I've been traveling one night, whole 24 hours. Like this time yesterday, I left my place. Very far, you can't reach it. Now it's midday, you have to do this tomorrow because people don't travel in the night." So they said, "Come with us." She said, "No, my kid's waiting for me." They said, "No, we're not going to let you go. You have these containers and it has some water in it. And we have to bring you to the Prophet." She went to the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ put his hand on those containers, made dua for it. Then he said, "Bring the biggest containers you have." So they start bringing the biggest containers they have. The woman got crazy. She said, "Whatever water there will be gone." He filled up the container, which is way bigger than her container. One, two, three. Then he said, "All of the army line up." Everybody came, and the Nabi Sallam filled their little containers and private ones completely. They all drank. Then they all fill up their containers. Then they all fill the containers for the animals. Wabah? Then in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after he finished Salah earlier, Fajr, I forgot to tell you, he found someone waiting, watching them, not praying with them. And Nabi said, "Why didn't you pray?" He said, "Ya Rasulullah, I had janabah. I had a wet dream." That's in our time, it's embarrassing. But in that time, things are much easier. So he said, like, "I had a wet dream. What to do? What I do?" Then in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "You could have just use the sand, you know, tayammum." Then in the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he got the water, he said, "Take that container, give it to this guy, let him take a shower with it. Let him take a shower with the water." Then after all this, Ali radiallahu anhu, the narrator, Umar Hussain, said, Wallahi, the woman went back, yani her mazada, her container, had more water than what she had in that container when she came to the Prophet. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, wait, before she leave, this woman gave you water. Ya akhi, hadha bardu dars azim. This woman have given you water. Did she? Really? It's in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah barak, but he want to give her the favor. She's mushrika. He said, this woman have given you doing favor. Let's pay her back. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took his rida, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, like a shawl. And he stretched it. He said, everybody bring something for her. So everybody start bringing food, barley, bread, thiyab, some na'al, some shoes, like khasf al-na'al, the thing that you put it on the bottom of the, you know, of the shoes, like to fix it with the bottom of the shoes, extra one. You know, all this can be very useful for people at that time. And the Prophet closed it, and it became a big amount of like gift. And he gave it to her. She went to her people, قالت, إن هذا ما بين هذا وهذا أسحر منه. There is no one between the heaven and earth. There is no magician like this man. Or he is a prophet. It has to be one of the two. Cannot be any other choice. وفي الأخير أسلمت وأسلم قومها جميعا. She called her whole entire tribe to Islam and the whole entire tribe into Islam. الحديث صحيح البخاري and others, يعني you can read it, and it's a long hadith and it's really a great hadith. There is many lessons to be learned from it. It is a miracle, one of the miracles of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. But Ibn Hajar said, if you look at the hadith, he said the Prophet ﷺ made wudu and the companions from that skin water container. لا يوجد في نص البخاري ولا في نص مسلم لفظ توضأوا ولا أعرف لهذا اللفظ أصلا في كتب سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قط. I never come across in any one Bukhari, Muslim, in any book and hadith explicitly said the made wudu of that container. طيب, how Ibn Hajar said Bukhari, Muslim, Al-Majd Abu al-Barakat, Ibn Abdul Hadi, these are great scholars of hadith, all of them said the same thing. Tawadda, wa alaykum as-salamu wa Allah. The made wudu of that container. But the narration, if you look at the narration, never explicitly ever said that they did that. But هذا مثال على رواية الحديث بالمعنى مختصرا. Because he said that's abstract from hadith Umrah ibn Husayn. They understood from this narration that the Sahaba must use that water for wudu as well. Or you can say, since the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered that man to make ghusl with the water, so in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered the Sahaba to use the water for what? Tahara, for purification. That means that water is what? Tahir. Wa mutahir wa tahur. So that means that this container did not make that water what? Najis. Okay? Because al-mazada is not only for water, could be used for something else before. And the ulama said, since the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wouldn't let that man to make tayammum and use the water, he will not use the tayammum and leave the water as well, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So An-Nawawi rahimahullah said, yufhamu hadha min al-hadith. You can understand that this would happen. But it never was explicitly stated it by the companions, radiallahu anhu. Also, this hadith we mentioned it earlier, that this shows you that any skin of an animal, if tan, the tanning of the skin, of make it leather and make it pure, halal. Also, it shows you the permissibility of using the utensils and the containers of the non-Muslims. It has also a proof of the Prophet's prophethood من دلائل نبوته صلى الله عليه وسلم, one of the ayat, the sign of his prophethood, that he's a great messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. And many ulama collected this kind of ahadith that shows the miracle of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, like الفريابي مثلا له دلائل النبوة, أبو نعيم الأصبهاني, أحمد بن عبد الله له أيضا كتاب في دلائل نبوة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. البيهقي has a big book. Also shows you that people, regardless of their religion, should cooperate and help one another for what generally benefit the public, like what happened in this hadith. The last hadith, we're just going to read it because we talked about it before, and I don't think we need to go in sharha. So I'm just going to read it, and we already made a comment on it before. عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه أن قدح النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كسر فاتخذ مكان الشعب سلسلة أو سلسلة من فضة, أخرجه البخاري. Narrated Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, when the cup of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم broken, he fixed it with silverware at the crack. Silver wire at the crack, reported by al-Bukhari. This hadith reported by al-Bukhari by Anas radiallahu anhu. Anas reported from him Ibn Sirin. Ibn Sirin reported from him Asim. So in Sahih al-Bukhari, if you read the hadith, Asim said, which is the successors, okay, the follower of the successors. So you have Anas, his students, Ibn Sirin, his students, Asim. Asim said, I saw that cup and I used it. قَالْ رَأَيْتُ هَذَا الْقَدَحُ وَشَرِبْتُ فِيهِ. Okay? So, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم's cup, when it has a hole in it or a crack, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, when this has happened to him, Anas said, he said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم filled that crack with silver, wire of silver. Later on, another crack happened. So Abu Talha radiallahu anhu told Anas ibn Malik, just keep it the way it is. Don't change that crack with gold or any other. Just keep it the way it is as the Prophet ﷺ left it. And Anas said, I left it the way it was during the Prophet ﷺ time. Al-Qadah is the small cup, okay, that people used to drink. And the Sha'b, يعني crack. I guess we're going to stop. We're going to salsala wa silsila. Silsila means the famous. Silsila means chain. Okay? The necklace that you put about it. Small circles connect each other. It's like a chain. But salsala, okay, it means a wire that connect to each other, but not necessarily to be like a chain shape. Okay? So if you bring wires and you roll them, we call salsala. But if they are like this, like chains next to each other, that became silsila. There is a difference in the meaning. Okay? And many scholars said this way and that way. So you have a lot of scholars reported this hadith in two ways. And the point here, that the small amount of silver, if it is part of the cup or the utensils, it will not make these utensils made of silver. Haram to drink from a silver utensil. But if it's a lot of small amount, it's permissible and there is exemption for it. And also it shows you, al-ulama rahimahullah debated, do we have to have a small or big, is it make a difference? I think what Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said doesn't make a difference, small or big, as long as the cup is still not silver. It doesn't need to be very cracked. It can be small or big. That's why we plated gold, plated silver, and this, according to this opinion, will be permissible. But many majority of the ulama said it is only small amount. And gold, many scholars would say you cannot use gold. In crack, you cannot fill it up with gold. In any gold-plated utensils, not allowed. Silver, there is a little bit of exemptions in relation to it. And this is something we discussed before.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala razaqna wa yakum fiqh fi d-deen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Inshallah, Musaddiq.